This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Metro, the tax-supported public service of the Southwest Ohio Regional Transit Authority, provides about 17 million bus rides each year in Greater Cincinnati. Metro says it's working on several initiatives aimed at reinventing public transportation in our area, including building an Oakley Transit Center and other improvements. And joining us to look at what Metro will be doing this year and what it accomplished in 2015 are Metro CEO Dwight Farrell and SORTA Board Chair Jason Dunn. You can join us at 513-419-7100. You can email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Jason and Dwight, so good to see both of you this afternoon.
Good to be here.
Dwight, 2015 was your first year as the CEO and GM of Metro. How do you assess the first year?
I think it was a pretty good year. I had fun. We accomplished quite a bit this first year, so I'm very pleased.
What were Metro's big accomplishments in the year?
The fact that we got a very good contract with the ATU this year, a three-year contract, I think ranks up there as probably the biggest accomplishment. The other things is, of course, how the streetcar is going to be operated. There was a lot of conversation about that. That issue was resolved in July. And just overall, you know, coming in with a budget that was balanced and this year. And so we think we've laid a pretty good foundation for 16 and beyond. And so this year was a good year.
So a budget balanced for the year. So I guess fares are going to stay the same and then no spending cuts.
Yeah, actually the fares will be the same for next year. And actually our budget this year is a little less than the budget for last year. So with the delivering the same amount of service. So that's a good thing.
Dwight, can you give us an overview of the metro system, the number of buses, the area that it covers?
Largely the city of Cincinnati. We do have some service that goes to Warren, Butler, County that are paid for by those counties. We have approximately 350 buses, between 850 and 900 employees, mostly bus operators. And we operate 7 days a week, about 20 to 21 hours a day.
Have you seen an increase in ridership?
Actually, small, you know, very small, probably 1% or so this past year. We're expecting and hopeful that in 2016 that we'll see a little bigger increase. But I think we feel that we've hit the floor in terms of ridership loss based on some service reductions that we did in 2012.
Yeah, the streetcar, you know, Dwight was mentioning this, it's going to start operating this year, and you're working out the operating agreements. And how much of an impact do you think that's going to have on public transportation in Cincinnati, Jason?
I think they'll support each other, the streetcar along with the bus system. I think they'll make for a very multimodal system for the region. It'll be to connect people from various business jurisdictions and things like that, and all the development that'll happen on the line, I think will be good for our city. Overall.
Now, and something else you accomplished last year, where you started to institute real-time information on apps for riders.
Right. We have there was one app that was developed by a local company. The app is called Bus Detective. It's available for iOS and Android. And Gaslight is a local company that is actually, one of the interesting things about it is the owner of that company relocated his business to Cincinnati to be on the streetcar line. So it's a great app, particularly if you're familiar with the system. And so it takes real-time information that we open up and provide to third-party developers, and they're able to see in real time where their bus may be, you know, where it's coming. And then the second one is Transit App, which has an interface with Google Maps, where wherever you happen to be standing, it will tell you which buses are coming into your area, and you can select from a menu and then determine which one you want, and it'll give you, you know, the route and what have you, what time they expect you to get there. So both are pretty cool. We're hoping to have more of that take place in 16. More app developers taking our information.
And I think the way that after hiring Dwight and getting more focus on the board. I think we're trying to make sure our customer base has the things they need, and a lot of that is more technology. So as we connect with new leadership, new millennials, new riders, new customer base, that allows us to be more relevant to the region. That's what we're trying to focus on.
You did a lot of outreach to millennials in 2015, didn't you?
We did. So we purposely went out and asked the customers whether they want, particularly millennial folk, because what we heard from the corporations is we have a problem with retaining talent. And a lot of that talent is millennials. And a lot of folk, what are they looking for is a robust transportation system. They're not driving as much. And they want a system that allows them to connect from work to play and other things. And that's what we're trying to accomplish.
I think there's something else to kind of piggyback on what Jason said, is that a lot of the research in this region and across the country has identified that millennials would rather have transit than cars. I have been surprised as a baby boomer to meet people in Cincinnati who have given up their cars because they want to use Metro and want us to find a way to be able to provide more service so that they can give up. It's one particular couple, they went from two cars to one car and would like to go to no cars and use Metro to be able to do that. And then the other thing that we're wanting to do, we've recognized that smartphone is the way to connect to people, like every other business. And so we're trying to figure out and hope to do something in 16 where our customers through their smartphone will be able to access more information and be able to use our system.
So I think the piece is quality of life is important in addition to supporting economic development, and that's what we're trying to turn in transportation into this region and really focus on that. For a long time, it has been seen as maybe a social service component or just for poor people. And in fact, although we do connect people to jobs, et cetera, and helping their way of life, we also want to grow that. So by getting more customers, by being more relevant to millennials, by being more of an economic driver and supporting that, I think we're really more focused on 2016 and beyond in doing that.
Hey, Jason, one of the there are people in town who probably haven't ridden a bus in maybe several decades. How much of a change would they see in buses and the services that are provided today?
In this summer, you'll see the small buses, and the WAC can probably talk about that a little bit more. What we saw is that we're not connecting to a lot of the jobs in the suburban area. And with the shift of the demographics from the city to the suburbs and suburbs of the city as it relates to jobs, et cetera, we have to do a better job of connecting that. And so what we're trying to focus on is to do that with the smaller buses that will go out to some of the less used routes and also connecting folk a little further than what we go now.
Well, and again, the difference is somebody who hadn't been on a bus in 10 or 20 years. Our whole fleet is 100% low floor and accessible, which is a huge difference if you haven't been on a bus in a while. So we have that. We also do voice announcements as the bus goes down the street so people will know where they are. Digital signs. We already talked about the two apps that people can use. We have a different kind of way of even paying your bus fare. You can buy bus fare without even having, you know, to pay cash. So you can buy a stored value card, monthly passes, and what have you. And our desire and expectation in 16 is you'll actually be able to buy your fare on your smart card, I mean, on your smartphone, and be able to use that as well. So I think that, and Jason mentioned about small vehicles. So I think that if you haven't ridden a bus in a while, the experiences are going to be a different experience.
How much have you moved toward using environmentally friendly buses, say hybrids or buses that run on alternative fuels?
Well, we have buses that run on hybrid. We have some buses that run on hybrid now. We use clean diesel, and so part of any transit system now, you've got to meet the EPA requirements in terms of emissions, you know, in particulate matter as it relates to diesel, and so we comply with all of those. So we are going to explore other methodology. We'd like to look at electric buses, but they're incredibly expensive for what the return would be. If we were probably a larger organization, we'd take a more robust look at that. Longer term, we're even looking at compressed natural gas. But these are things that are not something that are gonna happen this year or next year, but we are, over the next 5 years, going to develop an overall strategy about alternative fuels.
Now, one of the big projects for this year is the Oakley Transit Center. Why was Oakley picked as the site for this?
Well, we have a lot of service in that area now. There's a lot of development. that's in that area now, new development. And so we think that it just makes sense for us to be able to provide a structure there that allows us to be able to integrate our service and provide more amenities to our customers, you know, a better place to wait and what have you. It'll also have a ticket vending machine there so that people will be able to buy their fare media even when the bus isn't there. So, and will make easier for transfers as we move from a system that is pretty much hub and spoke to one that'll have more crosstown service.
And so that's what we gathered from all the information and various discussions that we went out and asked the community what they wanted. And a lot of the riders and future riders say they wanted to connect more without going downtown and have the connect and taking three or four buses. How do we position it where it's easy to get back and forth to where you want to go? And that's one of the vehicles that we're looking at using to be successful.
And Jason, describe what the center is going to be like.
So it'll be similar to Government Square, correct, Dwight?
But, I'm sorry, I didn't understand the question.
What's the center going to be like?
Oh, it'll be like Government Square.
Okay.
It'll have real-time information. It's obviously will be accessible. There will be covered, you know, shelters where people will be able to stay in and be out of the elements. It'll be obviously environmentally friendly as well. And it also gets us in a situation where people are making transfers, we're not impacting traffic in that area either.
And it supports economic development. You know, you have Crossroads there, you have the new Kroger's there, you have Oakley Movie Theater, and then there's some condominiums that are around the place too. So I think we support those opportunities and projects that help our citizens anyway. So
what routes is the center going to serve?
It's also going to be a park and ride. And I think that... we're still looking at what routes are going to do and what routes are going to be modified to serve there. So I think right now it'd be a little premature to say about the routes that we have right now. But anything that's going through that area that may be on the various streets that are around there are going to go into the Oakley Transit Center.
How many people do you think it's going to be serving? Do you have any expectations for that?
To be quite honest, I don't have a number specifically to do that, but we do expect that because we're making these, putting this system in, putting the facility in, that we'll have a positive impact on our ridership.
Now, looking beyond this year, Dwight, what are some places that you'd like to see Metro head in the next few years?
Well, from an organizational point of view, we're working with the board for a new strategic plan and a balanced scorecard. To implement that this year that I think will set the organization up for long term. We want to have more fuel efficient buses, but a lot more focus on technology and real-time information to our customers, and ultimately us being able to provide more crosstown service and get people where they want to go quicker. And as Jason said earlier, ultimately, you know, we want to be able to measure our economic impact to the region so that the citizens will want to invest more in public transportation.
And Jason, you mentioned, you know, going out into the community, finding out what they think, getting people's opinions. How can people get involved in helping to shape the future of Metro?
Well, they can go to our website, but there's also Metro listening sessions that are being happening now in the next couple of weeks or so as well. And feel free to go to our website to do that. And just simply email the organization and give your input. And I invite them to come to any board meeting. It's a public meeting, and they can give their thoughts as well. It's every third Tuesday at 9 o'clock.
And you can find a link to Metro's website at WVXU.org. And Jason and Dwight, thank you for being here today.
Thank you for having us.
Metro CEO Dwight Farrell and SORTA Board Chair Jason Dunn. Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Archives of our programs are available at WVXU.org. The producer for today's show was Pete Reitmeier. The assistant producer was Belinda Kai. Kevin Rawinski was the technical director. I'm Mark Caney. Stay tuned for Science Friday, coming up next on 91.7 WVXU.